Coming to you via live recording from the BVI. It's the news according to me. That is about the fastest I plan on talking for the duration of this video. This video? This audio. See, I don't even know what I'm doing here. The show, whatever this is, I made it to the British Virgin Islands. Unvaccinated. It's possible. You can do it. I had quite an adventure. Now my travel arrangements were a little bit different than most people's would be, just because of the nature of the way I was traveling. But I was flying. But I flew from everything went fine. I went out of South Bend, Indiana, is where I went. South Bend, Indiana to Chicago. I made the South Bend flight, literally, they were calling my name as I was going through security. And I got through security, and I was waiting for my bags to come through security, through the scanner thing. And I literally ran up in the hallway and, like, waved down there. Fortunately, there was somebody at that end of the terminal. It just happened to be somebody with a radio who was working for the company that I was flying on, and he radioed down there and said, "Hey, I think he's down here. He's just waiting on his bag," which was quite nice of them. I don't know if you can hear in the background. There's chickens, a rooster crowing here. It woke me up this morning. It's here in the BVI, in the British Virgin Islands, is where I'm at. It is it's 8:45, I think, right now in the British Virgin Islands. They're on Eastern Time, which is convenient for my body clock. It's much later than I thought it was, actually. I first got up about 6 o'clock this morning, and I've just been piddling around. So I could have been on the show a lot sooner, but see, this is life in the islands. It's much slower. I don't know why now I all of a sudden have an Irish accent. My attempt to be a Bahama type speak. Anyway, the point is, I'm trying to make is that the adventure was, you know, it was perfectly easily done, hurried up and got to. Now, the most amazing thing to me was that I had probably about as many carry-ons and as large as carry-ons as anyone would ever allow on board any airplane. But I ended up going to Chicago, and I was expecting, you know, to have to walk 10 miles with all my stuff. Now, of course, I have wheels, and even my rolly bag has a thing on it that I can actually, it has straps, I can put it on my back if I need to. That's specific. I use that one specifically for this kind of travel, because if I get in an area where I don't have wheels, or I can't get wheel, like a dirt road or a dirt driveway or sidewalk, I don't want to drag my wheels through the dirt, so I can just unzip this little thing, this little pouch thing, and it's got straps that come out, and I can put the whole thing up on my, it's like a backpack, wear it like a backpack, and of course I have to carry my other two bags. One of them is a backpack, the other one has a nice shoulder harness, but I can just carry those two. They're not that bad, and I just carry my other one if I have to. So it's a lot of weight to carry. But, you know, for an old man like me, going up and down steps. I didn't go to the gym yesterday. Did this stuff. So, got off the, for some reason, the airplane went into Charlie 8. I have never gone to Charlie 8 from South Bend. It's always been either Bravo at the very end, where all the little commuters go into, or in the Fox Gates, which is, you have to walk 2 miles to get to anywhere from there. Well, the San Juan flight was leaving from Charlie 10, right across the, right next door. It's right there. I literally walked in, sat down, and waited for my flight. And I was on standby to go to San Juan, and it was full. Wasn't expecting to get on, actually. It was not looking good for me. Ended up being able to get on. The gate agent there was extremely nice. And took good care of me. Everybody, the gate agents in South Bend, in fact, I can't say enough for them. They waited for me. They said they saw me on the list. So why they called my name. And they actually literally, when I walked up to the gate, I said, "Is it closed?" And they said, I thought they said yes. I thought they said it was closed. And then he said, I started putting my bags down. I said, "Well, I'll just take the next one." He said, "No, we're holding it for you." I was like, "Oh, I didn't realize the door was open." So I had to run. Oh, I jumped up, grabbed all my stuff again, and took, it's one of those, you know, faux pas where I just wasn't expecting to be able to make it. You know, people like to honk outside the door here. I think they're all honking at me. They're all swinging by, just saying hi. I'm pretty popular down here in the British Virgin Islands. They greeted me here when I got in. They gave me a great. There was a bunch of people waiting for me at the airport. To take tests. I had to be tested. That's why they were waiting for me. They were taking my temperature and testing me. All kinds of stuff. Now the plane I flew over from San Juan was this little dinky thing. It's actually it's Cape Air. By the way, it's a Cape Air, is what it's called. British chap that flew us over here, and there was five of us on the plane, I believe, which is full. That was full plane. It was pretty exciting. It's a piston engine prop plane, piston engine. A Cessna, I think it's a. I believe it's a Cessna 314. I believe is what they're flying down here. They're not pressurized, and got a nice job. Got all the way up to 5,000 feet for the cruise over here, and just got to go through, bump through some clouds, some weather, some rain, and it was just very well done. Very well done. Got in here and got in here about, right about sunset. Then I got to take a 40-minute, $53 taxi ride to my hotel. Now, so when I got in, initially the process was you walk in the door, they check everybody's temperature, you stand in front of this little thing, and it says, temperature normal. So everybody's kind of doing that whole thing. There's, you know, all five of us. It's because this big influx of people that were coming through. We all did that. And then the guy went up and asked for my vaccination paperwork. I said, I don't have one. He goes, "What, you don't have one?" I said, "No, I'm unvaccinated." He goes, "Oh, you're unvaccinated?" Yeah, I'm unvaccinated. That's why. And they kind of treat you kind of funny down here. Initially, the healthcare workers are like, they treat you like you're unclean. Now, this is how far behind the science gets with this kind of stuff. And this is what gets frustrating to me more than anything. Everybody else that's walking in that's vaccinated has just as much potential to have the virus, to be carrying the virus, as I do. Because Omicron does not discriminate with vaccinated individuals. It's questionably even, now it's even quite being questioned whether or not it even lessens your symptoms or not, if you have Omicron. Omicron's a different animal. It's almost as if it's a different strain altogether, it's a different strain, but it's a different variant. But there's nothing keeping this variant back. The vaccine is phony at this point. It's now whether or not another variant will come along that this thing could stop, we don't know. We wouldn't know what that's doing. However, with regards to Omicron, which seems to be the overwhelming dominant strain right now, the vaccine will not keep you from getting it or spreading it, period. And yet they treat the unvaccinated as if they are, "Oh my goodness, you're unvaccinated, you're unclean," kind of thing. Which is, if they're gonna quarantine people, that's fine, but quarantine everybody. It's a false sense of security that they're getting themselves, and that's what's frustrating to me. It's just like the whole thing with the masks. The masks, obviously, don't stop it. If they did, you'd see this. You would have seen this thing drop in a heartbeat. More people wore masks than were vaccinated. And if it was so effective, this thing would not have spread at all. Wouldn't have gone anywhere. Would have died out before. And this, here's the other issue. There's never going to be a zero COVID world. It will probably get to the point where COVID doesn't matter anymore. It'll be like the common cold or whatever it is. But not going to go away. There's animal reservoirs. It will never be outside of the environment that we live in. It's impossible. And yet there are some people who are trying to hide from this. Now, maybe you can hide from it long enough to where it becomes a variant that doesn't matter anymore. Or you can just hide from it to the point where you're eventually going to get it, and it's going to break out later. Just perpetuating the issue. And I get all that. I understand. But the science part of it has just not caught up. And that's what's frustrating to me is that, you know, I'm willing to go through all this to get here, whatever I got to do. They were very nice to me. They helped me, very helpful. In fact, I was trying to get on the flight from San Juan to Tortola. And the thing that was a little bit rough here and confusing was that they made you had to fill out this BVI gateway at least 48 hours before arrival. And within that, on that gateway, you had to post your results for your test, your COVID test. However, your COVID test had to be taken within 5 days from your arrival. Now, if you do the math on that, if you also add in the fact that it takes 2 to 3 days to get your test results from a PCR, keep this in mind, folks. So, if you take your test on one day and you wait 3 days for the results, you post the results literally as soon as you get them, barely gives you 48 hours prior to your arrival. And then if you get delayed by a day, like if I wouldn't have gotten on the flight, that would have really messed things up for me because the next day things would have run out. Now, I went and took another test on Tuesday. Or was it Tuesday? I believe it was Tuesday. I took another test on Tuesday morning, and I took a rapid test with those results. I got those the same day. So I had both. I was kind of armed with both of those. And that way, just in case something would happen, I had the results. And that was through a lab as well. It was an NAE test, whatever. And I sent them both of those test results, by the way. So now I have to be here in this prison here where I'm looking out over the amazing scenery that I see here with the islands and the ocean and all that I have to put up with here at this in this prison. And I have to be here for 5 days. Now, after five, this is day one. Yesterday was day zero, so today's day one. On the fifth day, I get to take another test. Now, the problem is, they told me that the only place I thought I could take the test via this certified online thing where I could take it to you. Actually, they view you taking the test, getting the results, and it's a deal where you do it online and they can certify it right there and they send you a certified test thing. But of course, no, not here. They're not going to let me do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to put my... I have to go back on a taxi. I could probably rent a car. I don't know if they'll let me rent a car or not. Probably won't. They're going to put me on a taxi and for another $53 plus, you know, tip, you know, $60. For $60, I get to go back across the hill or the mountain here, take a test, and then $60 back to get back to the hotel and then wait for my results, which could be the next day. Or possibly the next day. Then I get released. And I get to spend the remainder of my, whatever, 7 days here that I have. So I'm going to spend more time in quarantine than I will outspending my money here in the economy, helping their economy out. But that's, you know, I guess they'll get over that. Apparently they don't need my money, apparently. All for the sake of, you know, nothing. Now, what's going to happen is I'll probably get COVID while I'm down here. You know, that's the ironic part of it. or probably everybody else will. I'll end up being the only one that doesn't get it. But I return. Now, after this weekend, I'm probably going to do some shows over the weekend because after Monday, I may not be doing shows anymore for a while unless I am still stuck here waiting for my results. But I probably will, probably will still be doing shows until the time I get on the boat. Once I'm on the boat, that's just not going to happen. I'm not going to be doing shows while I'm on the boat, I don't think. It's just not going to happen. I'm thinking about doing a little bit of a video about my adventures, though, because the whole thing about me, getting to South Bend, barely making it, literally, and then barely making it on the flight to San Juan, and then I literally didn't have my paperwork. Now, here, that was getting back to this whole story about trying to get over here on Cape Air. As I was waiting there at the counter, I was trying to check in, and she said, "Do you have your results?" Well, I said, "Well, while I was on the flight, they sent me an email and said check my email because there should be my paperwork should be there." Paperwork wasn't there. There was no email, and it was 5 o'clock, which I'm assuming that the offices close at 5 o'clock. So I went ahead and sent an email off anyway. Said, "Hey, I'm not hearing from you. I don't have a phone number. Is there somebody I can call? What can I do here? I don't have my paperwork. There's no email. I checked my junk mail. I checked everything. Nothing." About 45 minutes prior to departure, 20 minutes prior to boarding, I get this email, finally. I was getting pretty desperate. I kept sending off emails. "Please help, please help. I don't know. Can somebody help me, please?" And finally, I get this email. Here it is. She just attached it to the email that we've been corresponding with before. I don't know why she didn't just do that then. I don't know what the problem was. Literally, of course, then I had to try to download the thing. It's a PDF file. I was getting very poor cell phone reception. And by the way, I had to activate my cell phone in San Juan to make that happen. So this is costing me more money. So ended up getting the whole thing done. Anyway, literally the thing was moving slower than I couldn't see the little circle thing that fills in, I couldn't even see it moving, but I could tell if I looked back at it a couple times, it would move a little. I could see that it was moving. If I didn't look at it, look back at it, I could tell it had moved. Finally got down to where there was just a sliver, and then it got to the point where I couldn't even see the sliver anymore, but it was still sitting there saying it was downloading. And this was literally 5 minutes before departure. Finally, it came through. I showed them the stuff. They got me my ticket. And I packed up all my stuff, gathered up all my phone was going dead as well, so of course I had to plug that thing in. So I had to be farther away from the ticket counter, because there wasn't any plugs around the ticket counter. I had to plug in somewhere else. So of course, not that they would share with me anyway. So I ended up going, finally getting on that flight, and all went well from there. I mean, I got in, and they did my test. It was negative. They did a rapid test. Actually just a regular test, I guess. And I got to the this morning. I got my results from that. That was negative as well. I'm just a negative guy, I guess. That's what they're trying to tell me. Anyway, a short little story about my life. I just thought I'd give you that little adventure story. And I don't have a cup. Well, I do have a cup. I have a thermos, but it's so far away from me, I can't reach it. In fact, I probably should call one of the maids here, one of the servants, to come bring my cup to me. I don't know. It's I don't think it's going to happen. I think I can reach it from here. Pull something. Yeah. Boy, that was close. That was a lot of work. That's probably the most work I've done since I've been here. I have this juice. I still have this juice in my thermos. I packed it up yesterday and brought it along with me. I have I think it's Meyer. It's a Meyer brand thing. We have a store here called Meyer in this area, and not in this area, but in the region. I wish there was a Meyer across the street. There's a Meyer franchise in the Midwest there, and we got this stuff. It's kind of a substitute for the Peach Mango V8 Fusion. I think this is called Mango Peach something. Fuzzy. Mango Peach Fuzzing. I don't know what it's called. It's kind of a generic thing. It actually tastes okay. It's not as good as the V8. V8 has a little bit better taste. They probably put more additives and stuff in it then. This is supposed to be 100% juice, which is probably actually better for you. But who knows? Who knows what it's got in it? Probably, could be worse for you. I don't know. Who knows? The flavor is just a little bit different. But it's bearable. I mean, it's not bad. It's just different. So that's what I have in my thermos right now. So that's what's in my cup. There you go. Now your life is complete for the day. Till tomorrow. Then you find out what's in my cup tomorrow. Who knows what's going to be in my cup tomorrow? Because I'm going to run out of this stuff. And I don't know what they're going to give me. I'm not sure what I'm getting for that. Probably just orange juice or something. I don't know. But it's kind of windy here. I can hear the wind blowing outside. It's pretty amazing. The temperature outside is about 75, 76, maybe 78 degrees, something like that, right around there. Who cares? It's nice. You just walk outside. Temperature's been that way. It's planning on being that way for the rest of the year, I think. So this is my story. This is my life. Let's talk a little bit about politics. This whole thing with Joe Biden. Holy cow. Hunter Biden, the whole Hunter Biden saga is getting worse. It's really becoming very obvious that nobody, even on the left, is taking Joe Biden seriously anymore. His presidency has become a joke. And they are actually even cracking down on it. Now, here's the question. They have to play their card. I'm sure that they have a game plan. I mean, this whole thing that happened with Bezos, with, was it CNN? Or MSNBC, I think it was CNN, wherever Chris Wallace went. The whole thing that happened there with him having this phone call every day and telling people basically what the narrative was going to be for the day. And Project Veritas, James O'Keefe, he got access to that phone call every day, and he was calling in on this line, recording all these conversations that they were having every day about the news, how they were going to spin the news every day. Did it for months. Then one day he chimes in. Hey, Jeff, this is James O'Keefe from Project Veritas. Just want you to know we've been recording these phone calls for about the last 2 or 3 months. And started asking him some questions. And all of a sudden, you know, it's like, okay. Well, thanks for your input, everybody. We'll get back with everybody on how to... And we just hung up. So it's pretty interesting stuff. That's journalism right there, folks. That's gutsy stuff, being able to do that. The interesting part about all that is that kind of shows the underbelly that's going on here. So how are they spinning this now? We know that this administration is in communication with MSNBC and CNN and the major, you know, the legacy networks, to spin stories certain ways, that they do that. They've already admitted that they do that. So the question is, how are they working on this story? Somehow they've got to either, you know, I think the timing is really a critical issue for them. They're not sure when to make the move here to usher Joe out, whether they do it in a benevolent way of, oh, well, he's poor Joe. He's just not with it anymore. We need to go ahead and issue the 25th Amendment, and it's all going to be this thing where we just escort Joe out. You know, he agrees. He needs to go, and everybody's on board with this. We just need to do this in a benevolent way. And then what do we do to usher in? See, the problem is we got Kamala Harris in the background. Kamala has no business being in the White House, let alone being the vice president. She shouldn't be in anywhere near the place. They should not allow her there at all. Now, so they got this quandary here. They got this situation where they're going to have the first black female president, and it's, what are they going to do? It's somebody that can't stand. No, she fits the right genitals. She's got the right, you know, ethnic color. But she's an idiot. So what are they going to do here? They're in this quandary. Now there is ways with the 25th Amendment. There is a way that the vice president doesn't automatically become president permanently. In other words, they can, like if something happens to the president right now, the VP steps in to act as president. However, that has to be confirmed. You still have to have a confirmation for that. Whether or not they will have that confirmation or they will just install someone else, which now they can just install whoever they choose. They could install Hillary at that point. And she would love that. I don't think she would run again in 2024. She might. The point here is that we're not even 2 years into Joe's. We're barely over a year of Joe's administration here, and everybody's still talking about whether he's going to run in 2024. Are you kidding me? That's just the most ridiculous. It's so obvious. It's not a question. There's no way he's running again. The DNC wouldn't even allow it, I don't think. Speaking of the DNC, they got fined. So did Hillary. And the campaign, I guess, her campaign got fined. Got sued. And there's more suits coming. And in fact, there's personal lawsuits and liability suits heading her way now that I guess are backing her into a corner. And she's acting like, oh, this is just all, you know, phony stuff. It's not phony if they lost the suit. Along with the whole Hunter Biden thing now. Are they going to, you know, extricate him from, you know, if he digs his feet in and doesn't want to leave, maybe they're going to just make him leave, make him resign, basically put pressure on him to have him resign. That's the cleanest way for this to happen, is for Joe himself to just resign. That's the cleanest way. And that may happen with this, what's going on here, with this whole Hunter Biden thing. The media may be wanting to put pressure on him at this point, saying, Joe, it's time for you to leave. You're ruining the party. And they may have to do it before my little bumper music's going to kick in here in a minute, and I think I'm just going to turn it down because I've got a lot more to talk about. The midterms are coming. Joe is dragging them down, and they know it. They're desperate at this point. They are absolutely desperate. They do not want to lose. Power is everything for these people. They do not want to lose power. And I'm concerned that they're going to do something drastic. Now you think that Joe is bringing them down. Just watch what happens when Kamala steps in. It's going to be worse. And it's not so much that Joe. I don't even blame Joe for bringing them down necessarily. I think it's them that's bringing them down. Look at their approval rating. It's lower than the president's, as far as Congress goes. I don't think that that they're heading for a good season here. And I don't think Kamala's going to save the day for them unless they pull in some VP that somehow has magic powers. It's not going to happen. So it's going to be very, very interesting over the next couple of months to see what happens. Because they've got to do something before, the midterms haven't really started spooling up. And they really don't matter until about the month before. Everybody will forget about everything else. Even if the war would end today, everybody would forget about the war by the time that. Because, you know, does anybody remember Benghazi? That was a long time ago. Nobody cares about that anymore. Does anybody care about what happened in Afghanistan? Apparently not. Nobody talks about that anymore. Of course, people right now care about the gas prices because they're up. They pay that stares them in the face every day. In fact, a CNN reporter just said that the other day. I think it was MSNBC maybe said something about every day the gas prices are staring people in the face, and that's what's going to hurt the party. They're all concerned about it. I mean, they're even openly talking about it now that things are not good. You know, it's bad when they're actually talking about it. That's why it's so strange to hear them talking about the whole Hunter Biden thing. George Stephanopoulos was actually confronting someone from the administration about the whole question of Joe and the White House and the Hunter Biden issue. Now, Joe has continued to spin and lie, and they've always protected him in all this. They're not doing that anymore. He continues to lie about it, but they're not protecting him. He's made some very bad statements, and it's all been recorded, and people are playing them over and over again, and it's not looking good for anybody in this administration. So we'll see what happens here. But the fact remains, Hunter, I think the Hunter is actually Corn Pop. I'm pretty sure. I think his street name was Corn Pop. And Corn Pop was a bad dude. Now, I just heard somebody making noises in another room somewhere. Didn't realize the sound was carrying that much. Hope they haven't been listening to me talk. Probably been listening to me talking all this whole time. Who knows? So that's pretty much my show. The funny thing about all this is that, you know, when you're even in another country down here where, you know, it shouldn't matter, but it does. The atmosphere down here is a little different. It's much brighter, sunnier, and more pleasant. People don't care. I was on the taxi ride over here. The guy was playing worship music away over here. Now, it's not worship music I've ever heard. I don't know who these people are. There were some songs I recognized because they were renditions, like the island renditions of songs I know. But it was good stuff, anyway, regardless of either way. But guy by the name of Mr. Green was my taxi driver. Did a good job. Got me over here safely throughout all the... By the way, they drive on the wrong side of the road over here. It's just kind of a weird thing. Kind of freaked me out a little bit at first. I totally forgot that they do that down here. But they all drive on the wrong side. So I would get confused in a heartbeat down here if I was driving around. Anyway, I see that what's weird about that is that the steering wheel is still on the left-hand side. But they drive on the left-hand side. That's just weird to me. Because it's really hard to judge where your right side of your car is. It's a little harder to see over there. Anyway, I digress. I think that's about it. I hear the music coming in again, so I'm just going to pony on out of here and go sit out on my terrace and watch the waves on the beach and the wind blow through the trees for 5 or 6 days, maybe 7, 10, who knows, for a while. We'll be down here in a couple weeks. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing.